God, we choose to give everything that we have in our lives over to you. God is the God over all. If we choose to surrender everything to him, God, we just choose right now. We choose to give everything to you. We don't want to be over anything, God. We don't want to be over our lives. We don't want to be over our problems. We don't want to be over our provision. We don't want to be the ones in charge, the ones that make everything happen. God, we just invite you to be the God over all. We invite you to move the mountains. We invite you into our problems, God. We invite you into the places in our hearts that we've been holding on to for so long. God, we just choose right now in this moment to open our hearts to you. And God, I pray over everyone in this room and listening online and in the cafe. I pray that you would just speak to us now. I pray that you would give us revelation. And we open our ears to hear you, God. We lean in and we ask you to speak to us. We ask you to change us. We ask you to move in our lives right now. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. You guys can be seated. Let's give praise to God just as we're for everything that he is doing right now. I didn't say this in the first service, but we just came back from camp. And we had an amazing time. You guys should have been there, man. Like, especially in our evening services, like, every kid was, like, crying out to God and, like, weeping and getting touched. And they were prophesying over each other and they were praying for each other. One of our team members, actually, she had a back problem. She got healed at camp. And I just want to say thank you for those of you that gave sponsorships. That was like really an amazing thing, and lives were forever changed. So I just appreciate that. Thank you guys very much. So we've been in this series called The Wild, and today is the last part of that series of talks, and I want to just jump in to hear what the Word of God says. Are you guys ready to hear from God? Where are my ameners at? Okay, I need you guys to help me today, all right? So if you hear something, let's be ready to receive what God is saying and respond to his word, okay? All right, let's jump in to Mark 6. I'm going to read to you 45 through 56. Immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side, to Bethsaida, while he himself was sending the crowd away. I'll give you some context for the story in just a moment. After bidding them farewell, he left for the mountain to pray. When it was evening, the boat was in the middle of the sea, and he was alone on the land. Seeing them straining at the oars, for the wind was against them. So just listen to this part of the story right here. So Jesus sends his disciples into a boat across the sea, and it says that he went up to a mountain to pray. Now, somehow, on top of this mountain, wherever he was, they were in the middle of the sea, and they were struggling. There was a storm. And somehow, Jesus was able to see them from the mountain struggling. Our God is so good. Our God is so good. He's like all-powerful, that he could see what his followers are going through, even from the mountainside. Isn't God so good? At about the fourth watch of the night, he came to them, walking on the sea, and he intended to pass them by. But when they saw him walking out on the sea, they supposed that it was a ghost and cried out, for they all saw him and were terrified. But immediately he spoke. He said, "Take courage, it's just me, don't be afraid." Then he got into the boat with them, and the wind stopped, and they were utterly astonished. for they had not gained any insight from the incident of the loaves. So earlier in this chapter is when Jesus feeds 5,000 people. And I love how this refers to that story as the incident of the loaves. Like it was like an incident. So earlier in this chapter, they saw this amazing thing, but for some reason, they were in the middle of a storm, and they see Jesus, and their thought isn't, oh, well, that's probably the guy that just fed 5,000 people with a bag lunch. That's probably a ghost. When they crossed over, they came to the land at Gennesaret and moored to the shore. When they got out of the boat, immediately the people recognized him and ran about that whole country and began to carry here and there on their pallets those who were sick to the places they heard he was. Wherever he entered villages or cities or countryside, they were laying the sick in the marketplaces and imploring him that they might just touch the fringe of his cloak, and as many as touched it were being cured. The message that I have for you today is called Into the Storm. And I want to talk to you today if you are going through kind of a crazy season right now. Are you going through a wilderness season? Are you in your lives right now in the middle of a storm where it feels like you are actually out of control and you're not sure if you're going to make it? You're not sure how you're going to get to the other side. And if you're not going through that storm right now, if you're not in one of those times, just lean in, take notes, and stay strong in the off season. Get yourself prepared. Amen? All right. All of us go through storms, I think. Has anyone in here not gone through a storm? Not gone through something crazy? That's good. Today we're going to talk about the why. Why do we go through storms? Why do we go through wilderness seasons? And I also want to talk to you about how we are to go through them. Because I feel like some of us maybe don't even think about how to go through them. We just think about how can I get through this as quickly as possible? And with as little bruises and with little scrapes and how do I just survive this? But you know, there is something about a storm time that God wants to impart to you today. And I think that he has some tools for you. So I want to talk to you guys about three important insights from this story in Mark 6. The first one is that sometimes God will send you into the storm. Sometimes, did you know that if you're going through a wilderness season, if you're in the middle of a storm right now, that it might just be that God sent you. If you're like me, the first thought that you can have when things are rocky or when there are waves hitting your boat or when it feels like you're out of control, one of the first thoughts that I can have is I must have done something wrong. I must be here because of something I did. I must be here because I'm not doing the right thing. And sometimes, you know, I will admit that sometimes that is the case. You know, if we're low in our bank account and we're not able to pay our bills, you know, it's a good idea to check our spending. You know, if our marriage is going through kind of a rocky time, it's good to take a look at yourself and see what you're doing. But oftentimes, if you're looking around and things around you are crashing and crumbling and there are waves hitting you and you're going through something crazy and you just don't know what is going on, oftentimes it's God that sends you into that storm. In Mark 6, verse 45, it says, immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him. Jesus made them get into the boat. He didn't tell them. And some of these disciples, they were fishermen. So probably they saw what was coming. They know what the sky looks like when a storm is about to come. Probably they were saying, even among themselves, like, shouldn't we wait? Shouldn't we go at a different time? Some of the disciples probably wanted to stay with Jesus. Don't send me when you're going to go to pray. I want to go pray with you. I want to go be with you. I want to go rest with you. But Jesus made them get into the boat. Jesus sent them into the storm. But why? Why does he do that? And I think the answer is because we really won't see Jesus move in our lives without some waves. I believe that Jesus wants to show you his glory. If you're right in the middle of a wilderness season, if you're in the middle of something wild happening, I believe that it's because God wants to show you his power. I believe that God is about to show you something great through this crazy thing. So be encouraged that this thing might not be something that you're in love with. This season might not be something you're in love with. But God wants to do something. Do you guys believe that God can show himself powerful in the middle of a hard time? Verse 47 says, when it was evening, the boat was in the middle of the sea, and he was alone on the land, seeing them straining at the oars, for the wind was against them. At about the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. And listen to this. He intended to pass by. He intended to pass by. Sometimes when we're in the middle of the storm, it could feel like God is so far away. It could feel like, God, why aren't you doing something? Why are you allowing this to happen? Have you ever been going through something so crazy and you've just prayed like, God, why are you not intervening? I know I've gone through things like that. God, if you were good. God, if you were a God that answered prayers, if you really did care about me, why would you allow me to go through this? Some of us are watching our loved ones go through things. We're praying, God, I'm strong enough, but don't send my kid through this. Don't allow my parents to go through this. Don't let my spouse go through this. Why would you do this, God? Why would you let me go through this? Why would you let my loved ones go through this? Jesus intended to walk past them. The reason that he actually changed his plan because he saw them struggling. If you're struggling or if a loved one is struggling, it's because God wants to show himself mighty in your life. It's because God wants you to see his glory. There cannot be a show of the glory of God without those waves. If you want to see God move some mountains, then first there has to be a mountain in front of you. If you want to see God's wild provision in your lives, first you have to be in a position where you can't provide for yourself. If you want to see healing in your lives, there cannot be healing without sickness. There cannot be this amazing move of God if there's nothing for God to move. Does that make sense? God wants to move mightily in your life, and he is sending some of you into the storm, not because he's mad at you, not because he's disappointed with you, not because you've done anything wrong, but because he wants to show you the mighty move of God. And he can feel so far away, but remember, he was on the mountainside, and then suddenly he was walking on the water. Distance doesn't mean anything to God. If you say, God, you feel so far, that doesn't mean anything to God, because he can be with you right in a moment. He is with you. He's not far. He sees you from wherever you are, whatever you're going through. He can see you. He can hear you. He hears your prayers. And he wants to move. Number two, second thing that I pulled out of this story, is God loves you so much, he will give you more than one chance. Amen. Verse 52, for they had not gained any insight from the incident of the loaves, but their hearts were hardened. So they had seen this amazing thing, 5,000 people being fed, and they didn't get it. For some reason, they didn't see what God wanted them to see. And sometimes we can be in a situation in our lives and we think, God, why am I going through this again? Why am I experiencing this again? Why am I going through hard thing after hard thing after hard thing? And sometimes it's because of God's goodness towards you. His love for you is such that he wants you to get that he is the one who is pulling you to the other side of that storm. Have you ever done this? Have you ever prayed for something and prayed for it and prayed for it and prayed for it and you've been so desperate for it to happen? And then God does it and you go, whew, that was lucky. Have you ever had like a bill or your car breaks down? You go, God, I don't know how I'm gonna pay for this. Or you going for a test at the doctor and they do the test and for some reason it takes like a year for them to run the test. And while you're waiting for the results, you're just like, God, please, let this be okay. Let this be okay. And then it comes back okay. And you're like, whew, I guess I can stop praying. Sometimes God moves in our lives and he answers prayers and we don't see it. We don't get that God is the one who pulled us through. And God wants us to have that revelation of his goodness so much that he'll give us another chance. If I was Jesus, probably after that feeding the 5,000 thing, if they didn't get it, and then I walked up to them on the water, and their first thought was, it's a ghost. I'd be like, man, I blew it picking these disciples. Forget you guys. I'm going to start over. I'm going to pick another 12. You're not getting it. No, but God loved them so much. God loved them so much that he said, I want you to see my power. I want you to see my goodness. I want you to see the amazing things I want to do in your life. And then number three insight is that God's power is on the other side of that storm. Why does God send us through storms? Because he wants us to experience his power. Verse 53 says, when they had crossed over, it goes on to say that people got healed. Everywhere miracles were happening. People from all over, there was such a great need at Gennesaret, that people from all over were bringing the sick. And you know, those disciples were a part of those miracles. And could it be that if God is sending you through a storm, that he's trying to prepare you for an assignment that he has, wherein his power is necessary? So picture this. Jesus knows where they're going. Jesus knows we're going to Gennesaret and there are going to be tons of people that need healing. So I need my disciples to have the right amount of faith. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to feed these 5,000 people with this little bit of food. And surely after that, their faith will be built up and they'll go, God, you can do anything. They didn't get it. So he said, okay, I can't send them on their assignment before they understand the power of God, before their faith is at the level. So I'm going to send them into the storm so that way they can see me get into their boat and the waves be calmed. And that way, I wonder what would have happened if they didn't get that either. I wonder what would have happened if they saw Jesus and they said, it's a ghost. And he was like, no, it's me. And they're like, no, you're a ghost. And they jumped into the water. I wonder if those healings still would have happened. God is preparing you for an assignment. God is strengthening your faith. God is making sure that you can withstand this storm so you can withstand this storm. So that when it's time for you to lay your hands on people and call for healing, that they'll be healed. If you look at other Christians and you go, man, how are they so filled with faith? How are they so powerful? How are they so anointed? How can they lay their hands on people? How can they prophesy over people? How can they speak and people get saved and God moves through them mightily? How is that? It's because those people have seen some things and they've seen God take them through things. God wants to take you through something so that when it's time for you to lay your hand on the sick, You won't have to wonder, is this really going to happen? You'll know it because you've seen God move the mountains. When it's time for you to prophesy over someone, or when you feel like God is telling you to go up and talk to that unsaved person, you won't have to wonder, is this going to work out? You'll know that God is going to move because you've seen it happen before. You've seen him take you through the storm. When you have a bill that's way bigger than your bank account says that you can pay for, you won't have to worry because you know and you've seen before the power of God moving in your lives. God wants to move through you in power, not just for you, but for other people. But before he does that, he needs you to see. He needs us to see his power move in our lives. And the only way he can do that is with a few waves. God's power is on the other side of that storm. I want to encourage you, if you're going through something right now, it's because God's about to do something mighty in your life. God wants to move powerfully. Don't say, woe is me. But praise God and know that he wants to move. All right. Does anybody in here watch any of those like survivalist shows? Do you guys watch survivalist shows? There are three survivalist shows that I really love watching. I love watching Man vs. Wild with Bear Grylls. I also love Survivor on CBS. And I love a show called Naked and Afraid. I couldn't find an appropriate picture for Naked and Afraid. Don't try to imagine what's behind the pixelated. Do you ever watch these shows sometimes I watch these shows and think, I could do some of that. I could do that while I'm sitting on my couch eating my ice cream. I think to myself, you know, I could be on Man vs. Wild with Bear Grylls. Sometimes he takes people with him. You know, I think, I could totally do that. You put me in a tough situation, you give me the right gear, you know, and you give me Bear Grylls is right there, and all I got to do is listen to him and eat some weird stuff, and, you know, I could do that. I could survive that. And then I watched Survivor, and I watched them doing those challenges and, you know, like the backstabbing and the lying, and I think, I could do that. You know what I mean? You do some challenges with your teammates cheering you on, and if you win, you get a steak. Like, yeah, I don't know if I would do so great on Naked and Afraid. I don't know if the audience would do so great with me on Naked and Afraid. Just like nothing, I get nothing. Put me in there with no clothes, no tools. Just one stranger that I don't know, who's also naked. I don't think I could do that. You see, survival depends on what you bring with you into the wilderness. It also depends on who you bring with you. Who do you have around you when you're in the middle of a storm? And what tools do you have? Are you prepared? Do you have what you need? Do you understand the things that God has given you? So I want to give you a couple of things that I think, and the Bible tells us, that we should take with us into the storm. When you're going into the wild, when you're going into that tough season, what should you take with you? Every time I preach, I'm learning more and more. This time I have a towel. This towel's far too big, though. Okay. What to take with you into the wild? Number one, take your faith. Take your faith. When you're going through a storm, when you're going through a difficult time, it's tempting to leave behind your faith. It's tempting to go, man, this Christian thing is not working for me. I served God, and suddenly I'm in this crazy thing, And I thought that if I served God, I wouldn't have to go through crazy things. I thought if I served God, I could pray and I could kind of go around the storm, around the wilderness. And a lot of the messages that we hear can sometimes be like, if you're in a wilderness, it's because you're doing something wrong. And sometimes, again, that's right. But if I can be totally blunt with you, I feel like sometimes there are some believers who treat their faith a little bit like the Wi-Fi on their phone. When the Wi-Fi is fast, when it's working right, when you get the download, when you get the satisfaction, when you get the encouragement of seeing the notifications of people liking your stuff and commenting on your photos, and when you get to listen to the stuff that you want to listen to, when you get to watch the stuff, when everything's going smooth, man, this Wi-Fi is amazing. And how do we say whether Wi-Fi is good or bad? It's based on the speed. If I can have it now. But as soon as that phone, that internet connection starts slowing down a little bit, maybe the downloads aren't coming fast enough. Maybe our streaming is buffering a little bit too much. Maybe we're not getting the notifications. Maybe the iMessages aren't coming through as quickly as we'd like them to. What do? We switch off into world mode. God, as long as you speak to me, as soon as I want you to. God, as long as I'm getting the downloads fast enough. God, as long as I'm hearing you clear enough. God, as long as I'm seeing the things in my life that I want to see happen. God, as long as I'm getting the right kinds of messages. As long as I can hear you super clearly, then I'm all for this faith. But sometimes when we don't get it so fast, when it doesn't happen so smooth, when it's not so clear, it's easy for us to switch off and go, well, God was good on Sunday, but man, on Monday, I'm looking at these bills, or I'm looking at this depression, or I'm looking at this temptation that I have. My encouragement to you is don't leave your faith behind. Do not switch your faith off when it's time to go through the wilderness season. Your faith is so necessary for you to get through to the other side to see the power of God. God is faithful. He is faithful. Don't run when it gets hard. Persevere and see what God will do with a faithful heart. See what God will do in your life when you persevere. All right, number two, what to take with you into the wild. Are you guys getting anything out of this?
Yeah.
All right, good. Take a willingness to embrace the season. A willingness to embrace the season. If God has you in a season, understand he's doing great things. Sometimes when we're in a wilderness time, we can feel like, man, I just want to get through this. You ever say that to yourself? I just want to get through this. But what do you do when you're trying to get through something? You just put your head down and you kind of, but God has things he wants you to see. God wants you to lift up your head and look around. He doesn't want you to just get through things. He has things he wants you to go through. Not to get through, to go through. Because there are things he wants to teach you. There are things he wants to reveal to you. There are blessings that he has for you. There are revelations that he has for you. We need to start embracing the hard times. Not just when it's smooth, God, can I call you good? But God, no matter what I'm going through, your kingdom come, your will be done. I don't have to be enjoying myself to say that you are good. But God, you send me, no matter where you send me, I will go. My life, you know, when we sign up for the Christian faith, we don't sign up for a convenient life. There's plenty of blessings in there. But when I signed up for a life of serving God, I said, God, you send me wherever you want me to go. If you want me to move to a different country and live in a house made of sticks, well, what will that do to my quality of life? That doesn't matter. It has to be God no matter what you're doing, no matter what you're saying, no matter what is hitting my boat, no matter where you're sending me, I'm going to call you good and I'm going to know that you're good. It, waves or no waves, you are good. God is calling us to embrace what he has for us. God has amazing things for you. And you know what? I want to prophesy to you that your wilderness season is a sign to you from God that he's about to do something great. If you're going through something difficult right now, if you've lost a loved one, if you're going through a crazy financial season, if you just declared bankruptcy, if your business is failing, if your marriage is failing, and you stay faithful to God, my prophecy to you is that God will do something amazing in your life if you just embrace what he wants to do. What's interesting is when the disciples saw Jesus, man, and they thought he was a ghost. Isn't that so funny how sometimes Jesus can be doing something right in front of us in our lives, and we could see what God is doing and interpret it as something bad. Sometimes Jesus could be standing right in front of us and we don't see that it's him that's moving. Sometimes we can rebuke the things that Jesus wants to do. Sometimes we can try to get around what God wants to do because we don't have the understanding that this is God's hand. This is Jesus trying to work in our lives. Don't mistake problems for God's absence. That's such a lie from the enemy. If you have problems happening in your life, that means God is not close to you. Not true. God is right with you. And even some of those things are God working and doing things inside of you. Let's be a people that say, even in the middle of the storm, God, you are good. Amen. You are good. Thank you, Jesus. God, help us to see when you're moving in our lives. Help us to see when it's your hands. Help us not to fight against you. Help us not to try and undo what you're doing. God, when we get corrected, God, help us to receive it. When you're adjusting us even, help us to receive it. Help us not to push the people away in our lives that you have put in our lives. God, don't let us miss it. Don't let us miss what you're doing. All right, number three thing for you to take with you. And this is probably what I'm most passionate about out of all three of these things. When you're going through a wilderness season, take your joy. Don't leave your joy behind. Has your storm robbed you? Has it made it hard for you to hold on to your joy? Is it a struggle for you to not be bitter? Man, some of us have, if we're honest with ourselves, we've allowed ourselves to get bitter. And there's no condemnation. I don't want you to feel like, you know, but I want to open the thing that's been closed over your eyes. God wants to reveal to you that we need to get our joy back. Don't go into that crazy time. Well, Jordan, I don't know what I'm supposed to be joyful about. You know, so much of joy depends on expectation. So much of our joy. And you know what I've found? I've found that the people typically that I know that don't have joy, their expectation is in something or someone else. An expectation that they put on a parent or a spouse or a friend or the church. Can I tell you something? Your joy is not your spouse's responsibility. Oh, that was so quiet. That's okay, I understand. Your joy is not your parents' responsibility. Your joy is not even the church's responsibility. Do you see what Pastor Jordan was wearing today? devil trying to take my joy. Devil stealing my joy today. You know that the devil, he can't steal your joy. Maybe the issue is that you're surrendering it. I looked throughout the scripture. There's not one verse that says that the devil has the power to steal your joy. We have the power to surrender it. Joy is like a balloon. If you hold on to it, it'll lift you. If you let it go, it'll just float away. Man, we have to hold on to our joy. Well, what do you want me to do? This is how I feel. Am I supposed to fake it? No, we have to remind ourselves. We have to remind ourselves that joy is not about what we're going through, but it's about who we belong to. And the whole, well, this is how I feel thing, I understand that, I've been there, but that's the wrong perspective on joy. Joy is not something that as Christians, we wait for something to hit us. We wake up in the morning and go, is joy gonna hit me today? No, according to Isaiah, it's something that we have to choose to put on. It's an anointing. Isaiah 61:3 says, appoint unto them that mourn in Zion. It's talking about people who are mourning. To give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness. Joy is something that we have to choose to put on. And some of us have to choose it every single day. Some of us have to go through a time where we're choosing it every hour, where we anoint ourselves every single time a negative thought comes in. You have to anoint yourselves. You can no longer blame the enemy. You can no longer blame your spouse. You can no longer blame your kids. It's something that you put on. You have access to it. Where do I get joy? God has already given it to you. Joy is a fruit of the Spirit, which means that if we're walking in the way of God, if we're trying our best to follow Him, we have access. He empowers us to have joy. He empowers us to experience the joy. But I implore you today that if you're not following Jesus, if you're doing this Sunday Christian thing, and you're lacking in joy, to call Jesus back into your boat. Don't move forward without God. Don't try to do it yourself. Don't look to other people for your joy. It comes from Jesus, the only one that can help us. The only one that can provide it for us, the only one that can empower us, is Jesus. Let's walk in His way. When we see Him move, let's not declare something that's not happening. Let's no longer look at other people and say, well, if you were doing your job right, I wouldn't be feeling this way. No, your joy is your job. Your joy, your job. My joy is my job. God, help us. God, help us, empower us. Help us to grab onto the thing that you've asked us to do. Help us to activate what you've already put on the inside of us. We're going to close in just a minute. Can everybody stand with me? April, come on up here. We're going to pray for a couple people, a couple groups of people, but April wants to pray over people who are having a hard time with joy.
If everyone could just close their eyes really tight with me just for a moment. So I'm up here because I didn't have joy for years. I was stuck in a season of despair, and a message like this And that season for me would probably just push me deeper into brokenness because I just couldn't receive. I was so stuck. I couldn't experience joy on a deep level. And the truth is, you know, I did have a high expectation of my church. I had a high expectation of my husband as a newly married wife. So I want to identify with every single person in this room that feels like in this moment, you are still stuck. You still feel like, I know what you're saying. I know what you're saying is true. And I have all these tools in front of me, but you don't know what I'm going through. And you know what? You're right. I can't stand here and say, you know what? Maybe I don't know what that feels like. But if we could just agree in this moment that joy is a part of our journey, and maybe you've involuntarily lost it along the way in your season of despair. Maybe there's things that have happened to you that you don't know anybody that's gone through that. I just want to validate you right now. And I want you to know that there's not one person on this earth that can make your pain go away. There's only one person. It's Jesus Christ with the perfect covering. In a moment with him, he can give you your joy back. He can take those things that don't belong to you, that despair, that anger, that frustration in your marriage. If you can't laugh at your spouse's jokes anymore, you're so broken, you can't even have joy in your marriage. I'm speaking to you. If you're a student in this room, you can't even be around your parents with joy. I just want to speak to you right now. I cannot help you. Jordan cannot help you. Your pastors, your parents, we cannot help you. The only one that can truly set you free and deliver joy to you and help you get through this is Jesus Christ. And if you're stuck, there needs to be one step before we receive that joy, and that is repent. We need to repent right now. So every person with their eyes shut, I promise, me and Jesus are the only one looking. If that is you that is struggling to feel joyful in this season, I just want you to put your hand up because I want to pray for you. I see you. I see you. It's okay. It's okay. This is not to shame you. This is not to make you feel bad. This is a part of your season. And I promise you that when this is over, you will experience a deep joy. So Father God, right now, we just pull heaven down. We ask, Lord, that every single person in this room that feels stuck, that cannot experience a deep joy, Lord, I pray right now that heaven would come down and that we would experience you in a deep way, God, that there would be an exchange right now. All the bitterness, all the anger, everything that is in front of us that is keeping us stuck, we release it to you right now in the mighty name of Jesus. We repent. We repent, God, right now. And we ask that we would receive joy, that we would look different when we wake up in the morning, that there would be joy on our face, that we would respond differently to our spouse, respond differently to our children and our parents and the people around us, that it would be supernatural and that we would declare that it was a miracle, nothing short of a miracle. Because you are the only one that can piece us back together in our brokenness, God. And we just thank you so much, God, for what's coming. We solidify it right now in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Praise God. I want to pray for one more group of people, and then we're gonna sing to God. So keep your eyes closed. I want to pray for you if you need to invite Jesus back into your boat. Maybe you've never turned your life over to Jesus. Maybe at one point you did, but you just understand that you're far from him and you need to get close to God again. If that's you, would you just put your hand up? I want to pray for you. I want us all to pray together. If you know, I'm just far from God. Thank you. I see your hand. Is there anybody else? I see your hand in the back. Thank you. Is there anybody else that's far from God? Yep, I see you. I see you. Is there anybody else? This is your moment right here. I see you guys up here in the front. Thank you, Jesus. Amazing. I see your hand back there. Is there anybody else? Even if I can't see your hand, Jesus sees your hand. And you know what? Even if you're not raising your hand, but your heart is positioned, God wants to move into your life right now. You guys put your hands down. I want us all to say this prayer together, whether whether you've been saved for your whole life or not, you put your hand in the air or not, but can you guys just repeat after me? And we're going to invite God into our lives. We're going to turn over our hearts to Jesus. So just repeat after me. Jesus, I need you. I'm in a crazy storm. Please take control. Strengthen my faith. Help me to trust in you. Fill me with joy. Be my Lord and Savior. I'm calling on you, Jesus. Amen. So guys, we had like maybe over a dozen people raise their hands and make decisions for God. Can we give God praise for that? If you made that decision for the very first time, we don't want you to walk alone. So I ask you to do one of two things. In the seat back pocket, there is a card that says, I've decided. Fill that out and you can put it in the offering. Or you can go out to the Welcome Center. They have some next steps for you. They have a gift for you, a little material for you to know, because we want to walk together with you. You just walk up to them and you say, I said a prayer today. And they'll give you what you need. Ushers, you can come forward and you can serve the people. We're going to do our tithes and our offerings now. And while the ushers are serving the people, let's take a few moments and let's just worship God together. Thank you.
Thank you, Pastor Jordan. Thank you, Pastor April. What a moment. I feel God just pulling on our hearts. I feel him so strongly. Don't resist in this moment as we end with worship. Just say, Lord, I give you everything. I surrender everything in my life. That's the most precious thing we can give to him. Be ready, church. Sing, your grace abounds. Grace abounds in deepest waters. Sing it out. Your song.
My pastors and intercessors just to come. Today has really been wonderful, but before you walk out of the building, if you need to make a connection with someone, our teams are up here ready to pray with you, as well at the Welcome Center, the connection counter. We'll help you get signed up for your next step in faith. I want to speak a blessing over you, not that you haven't been blessed already, but the week ahead, God knows what's in it. You might have cruised in here going, man, life is good. And then tomorrow you step into a storm. So remember the words you've heard today, all right? Don't just get through it, go through it, amen? Would you lift your hands and let me bless you? Father, I speak a blessing on your people. Thank you for all our new friends. Thank you for the faithful people that have been coming for years and years. Lord, just bless our whole community, every generation, single and married. Lord, let your face shine upon them. And let this week be a week of tremendous breakthrough. In Jesus' name, amen. I love each and every one of you. Thank you for coming. Great to be with you. And again, take a minute, connect with each other, connect in the lobby or here at the front if you need prayer. God bless you.